Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Sean Kane. Welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. We're here with Dr. John Romanowski and Tim Janiszewski from the Department of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
Good to be here.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's start with a basic question. We hear the phrase new evangelization thrown around a lot. And I know, John, that that's something that you live and breathe and sleep and eat every day of your life. So can you help to break that down and make that something that's digestible for the average Catholic?
I could try. You know, the new evangelization does cause some confusion because people wonder, haven't we been evangelizing for 2,000 years? And it's true. The Church always evangelizes in her sacraments, in her preaching, our Catholic schools, our religious education. We're always spreading the gospel. Pope John Paul II coined the phrase new evangelization because he recognized that we're in a new time. The world has changed, and it's not enough to pass on the faith in ways we've done it before. And he noticed that in Catholic countries like Poland, where he first realized this, that the faith wasn't being spread, it wasn't being passed on. And so, as he told the bishops in Haiti, 1983, we need to find new ways of expressing our faith, new methods of spreading the faith, and a new ardor, a new passion for witnessing to the gospel, or witnessing to Jesus Christ, to people today in a very new modern context.
And I would imagine Pope Francis, in the way he, his kind of accessible speaking style, his example, makes that all the easier for us.
Absolutely. Pope Francis really embodies what we're talking about with the new evangelization because he's such a breath of fresh air. He's captured people's imaginations. People are paying attention. I mean, so many times someone will come to me excited, you know, did you hear Pope Francis just said this? And what he said, we've been saying for 2,000 years, but they've really heard it for the first time.
Like they're hearing it new.
And he is just reaching so many millions of people all around the world from every different culture, every different age group. Engaging them and making them really interested of what makes him tick. He is such a joyful, authentic, open person who obviously loves the poor. He loves people. He loves life. He has an incredible freedom and is so attractive. Mm-hmm. And people are really beginning to pay attention to what is he exceptional or is this what the Catholic Church is really all about?
And one group in particular of Catholics who seem to be focused on the Pope and really in love with the Pope are young Catholics. And I know we have a new director of youth ministry here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And Tim, why don't you introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background on you?
Well, my name's Tim Janiszewski. I have been a youth minister here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore for 18 years at Our Lady of the Chesapeake in Pasadena, Maryland. And I just love what I do.
That's excellent. So one of the things that you're going to be focused on is the youth pilgrimage that's coming up. I know it began under Cardinal Keeler some years ago after World Youth Day in 93. So talk a little bit about when that is and how people can participate in that.
The pilgrimage this year, it always falls on the Saturday of Palm Sunday weekend. So this year it's March 28th, and it's for high school students and young adults. And it's an opportunity for them to gather, to process through the streets of Baltimore with Archbishop Laurie and Bishop Madden. And they usually carry a large wooden cross with them and witness to their faith, to not only the Archdiocese, but to the city of Baltimore, and to themselves be evangelized. It's just a great way to kick off Holy Week, too.
So you've been here long enough that you've experienced these youth pilgrimages. Can you talk a little bit about what the kind of the vibe is, what the feel is of that day? And Bishop Madden mentioned to me just a couple of days ago that he recalls recently that there was a downpour that day, and the bishops and the adults who were there were kind of seeking cover at every point along the route, but the kids themselves loved being out, and it was almost like they saw it as a challenge.
Oh yeah, it was. I've been to probably 16 pilgrimages, and they all start to morph together, except for that one. I remember that one clearly, probably 5 years ago. It just torrential rain and wind, and there was a tornado warning. We had to tuck into a garage and sit for 45 minutes, and just 1,000 young people. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, I will never forget this pilgrimage.
It seems like it's something about that event that it is an opportunity for young Catholics to really display their faith in a way that's, you know, humble but also a little prideful in a good way.
In a good way, yes. And also I think it provides young people an opportunity, especially if they're only familiar with their own parish, to experience the larger Church of Baltimore and to be aware that there are people out there like me who are very interested in their faith and sharing their faith and evangelizing, and I think that fills them with hope and joy and really empowers them.
Mm-hmm. I know one of our challenges is helping young Catholics who have this enthusiasm for their faith kind of sustain it and pull through into their 20s before they start having families. Where do you see that going, John, in terms of what the church can do to support them and really help them continue to engage their faith and participate in their faith?
That certainly is one of our biggest challenges. And you know, when we look at statistics that we have of, you know, when folks are going to walk away from the church, when do they do it? And it's precisely when they're becoming young adults and deciding what they really believe themselves and how they want to live their life. And they go off to college, whatever it might be. So how do we have that faith go deep enough into them so that they choose it themselves? And I think one of the things that we've realized is that just having a program and having them go through a program is not enough. And what does make a big difference is having a mentor, having someone who's an older brother or sister, or maybe their pastor, but someone who is mature in the faith, who really one-on-one gives them that attention and helps them to develop, go deeper in their prayer life and their life of faith, and maintains that connection with them as they move into young adulthood and move into university. And that's a growing realization across the board that it's about that kind of relationship and mentoring relationship.
So if someone wants to participate in Youth Walk, what do they do? How do they, you know, get involved?
For a high school student, they would get in touch with their campus or youth minister. They need to register through their parish or their school to attend. I don't think we just want them showing up that day. They need permission forms and mm-hmm. and things. Young adults, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. John?
Also, there's a packet available, registration packet available on our website. If you go to archbalt.org under Youth and Young Adult Ministry on the top right, and under Training and Events, it's the first item right there on top of the list that you'll see the Youth Pilgrimage, and there's a registration packet for parishes to attend.
That's great. One area that's a growing part of our archdiocese, obviously, are those who are Spanish speakers, and we see this in every corner of the church in the United States. It's growing exponentially, especially with Spanish-speaking Catholics. How do we engage them so that they are really feel a part of the larger archdiocese while still really respecting their individual culture?
Well, one thing that we realized is it's not just about a language. You know, we're trying our best to be able to serve them more effectively by speaking their language. I mean, so often now when we are looking to hire someone in ministry, speaking Spanish is a big bonus because we need to be able to minister to this community. But we also realize it's not just about language, it's about culture. And the people who are coming who speak Spanish, they're from lots of different countries and lots of different cultures. And how they're living their faith in the church is different, and we need to respect those differences. There's a lot of practical ramifications for that, but it's also just being at their service and supporting them in their faith life that makes this essential. I mean, for example, Catholics from Central South America they'd love to gather as a community. They use the space at the parish all the time to come together for all kinds of different events. They have a lot of communities, lay communities that are very active In the parish. So just to respect those kind of differences and support them in that, and at the same time understand that, people who come here, first generation Spanish-speaking Catholics who come here, their children may be growing up speaking English and maybe being reluctant to speak Spanish. And so to understand those nuances in their family life and to meet them right where they're at and support them in that faith life in that time of transition, generational transition.
You are listening
and
to
all
Catholic
of this in
Baltimore
the context of realizing that we're one church.
1370 WQLL.
That we're one Catholic church, and to express that oneness in a real way, as opposed to being sort of parallel, having parallel lives next to each other. So all of that is a big challenge, but it's certainly one that we've embraced and we're working towards.
Absolutely. Well, once again, the Youth Pilgrimage, for more information to register, log on to www.archbalt.org. Dr. John Romanowski and Tim Januszewski, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
For over 200 years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Catholic schools have welcomed families of all faiths, providing generations of students with an academically excellent, value-based education taught in a Christ-centered environment. With a 99% graduation rate, the highest in the nation, and a 98% college attendance rate, Catholic school graduates are better prepared to succeed in college and beyond. But Catholic schools offer more than an education. They offer tradition, family, faith, and the opportunity for students to grow as individuals and as future leaders in their community. Discover these and other benefits of a Catholic school and learn more about why Catholic schools are an unparalleled value in education in the Baltimore region. Call 1-800-5-CATHOLIC or visit www.archbalt.org. Catholic schools, a place to grow.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
Welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. This is Sean Kane. We're here today with Dr. Rod Mortel, who's the director of the Office of Missions for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Deacon Mortel, welcome.
Thank you.
So you've worked for the Archdiocese for many years. Can you talk a little about what your current role is and how it was that you came to work here?
I was appointed Director of Missions for the Archdiocese of Baltimore by His Eminence Cardinal Keeler in 2001, 2 weeks following my ordination as a deacon. I was recommended to the position by my predecessor, Monsignor Victor Galeon, who became Bishop of the Diocese of St. Augustine in Florida.
Great. And people can obviously tell by your accent that you're not from here. So can you talk a little bit about your background, and it will become obvious now what your current job is.
Well, I was born and raised in Haiti and went to medical school in Haiti, practiced general medicine in Haiti for 2 years before I came to the United States via Montreal, Canada. Then I was further trained in obstetric and gynecology at the Hahnemann Medical College in Philadelphia and then in gynecologic oncology at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York. I joined Penn State in 1972 as an assistant professor and became head of the Department of OBGYN at Penn State, a position that I held for 13 years before I became an associate dean and founding director of the Penn State University Cancer Center.
So now you, as part of your role with the Archdiocese, you direct something called the Haiti Outreach Project. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That is correct. The Baltimore Haiti Project was funded, I would say, by His Eminence Cardinal Keeler, and it consists of a partnership between the Archdiocese of Baltimore and also the Diocese of Gonaive in Haiti. Now, this program is centered around the two dioceses, but filtered down to the parishes. So we have a program. Within the program, we have the parish partnership program, which consists of a sister parish relationship between the parishes of the Archdiocese of Baltimore and the parishes of the Diocese of Gonaive in Haiti. And it is intended to forge bonds of a relationship between the parishioners of the Archdiocese and those of the Diocese of those of the Diocese of Gonaive, and which expose the parishioners of the Archdiocese not only to a country of different culture, but also a country with a very rich spirituality.
One obviously important benefit of that relationship was the tragic earthquake in Haiti and the opportunity for the Archdiocese to support our sisters and brothers there. Can you talk a little bit about how Haiti was impacted by the earthquake, and more recently in your most recent visit, how you find it today and maybe how the Archdiocese was able to support it?
Well, immediately after the earthquake, we traveled to Haiti with the Catholic Relief Services and work as part of the Archdiocese team, you know, to help medically the people of Haiti. And the schools that comprise the mission of the Archdiocese, the schools were not affected greatly. There were some minor problem with the school, but that were fixed very well and rapidly. However, these schools of the mission receive a large number of students who were whose schools were totally leveled in Port-au-Prince. This was one way. The other way that the Archdiocese assists again is to build a trade school to help the youth of the Diocese of Gonaive to benefit of the technique available in the United States that were not available in Haiti.
Right. So you visited there most recently. So how are things now?
But things are progressing, but painfully slowly, I mean, with a country that had no infrastructure, you can understand why the progress has been slow. However, I must say that the number of people who are living in tents has decreased considerably. And I think that, this is progress.
What the Haiti Outreach Project is just one area that your office is involved in. Or what are some of the other things that the missions office of the Archdiocese is involved in?
Well, as part of the Haiti program also, I need to indicate that there were a program for the youth, where the youth of the school of the Archdiocese travel to Haiti every summer to have camp with the students of our schools in Haiti. And beside that mission, we have started a talk to trying to establish a relationship with the diocese in Cuba. The diocese of Pina del Rio, the one the closest to the United States. This is still on the exploration stage. However, we visited Cuba, visited with the bishop of that particular diocese, and he came to the United States in September and visited various set of the Catholic charities in the Archdiocese.
And finally, what are your thoughts on the recent developments in terms of U.S.-Cuban relations?
Well, I supported wholeheartedly the decision of the administration to really alleviate the situation of the people in Cuba. The embargo has been in place for over 50 years, and I'm very sensitive to the embargo because my father died as a direct result of the embargo that the United States imposed on Haiti in our 1994. There were no antibiotics, no medications that people had access to. And that's exactly what I found in Cuba when I went 2 years ago and again last year. The priests of various parishes have to get some medicine for their parishioners when they are sick. Mm. So I think the people of Cuba will benefit immensely.
How can people learn more about the missions office? Is that through the website of the Archdiocese?
Yeah, the website of the of the diocese is kept updated as far as the activities of the mission office, and also high hopes for Haiti, which is the mouthpiece of the Motel Family Foundation, is also a site to visit, because the Motel Family Charitable Foundation is the organization that really operate the schools, the mission that the Archdiocese establishes in Haiti.
Excellent. So for more information about the Missions Office and the Haiti Outreach Project, you can visit archbalt.org or just Google search Mortel Family Charitable Foundation for more information. Dr. Mortel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and Weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica Gift Shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels. locally designed hand-painted signs, and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore is pleased to announce the launch of the 2015 Archbishop's Annual Appeal. The theme for this year's appeal, taken from the Gospel of Matthew, is Go Make Disciples, and it is a call for each of us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all people everywhere. The Archbishop's Annual Appeal provides our 145 diverse parish communities with the tools that help them celebrate the sacraments, teach the faith, and build a vibrant culture of life centered on the Eucharist. Funds from the appeal are also used to evangelize future generations, strengthen families, and to lend a hand to the underserved members of our community. On behalf of Archbishop William E. Lorry, thank you for your prayerful consideration to support this year's Archbishop's Annual Appeal. For more information or to make a gift, please visit www.archbalt.org/appeal.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.